to get it into Thornhill.
Get the shot up.
To get it to Engjoff.
This is the play you've been drilling in all those times in practice.
Thornhill over to Engjoff. Damos Den just throws it off for the championship. Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, I'm Jordan Thornhill. I play for the men's varsity basketball team here at Bishop's, and my athletic financial award allows me to put my best foot forward in whatever it is that I'm doing. If I'm investing myself academically or on the court, in the weight room, just practicing, it really gives me the peace of mind that I need to focus, and it helps me tremendously, and it's something that I'm very grateful for, and I appreciate the support. Thank you so much.
My name is Rémi Desbiens. I'm a football player and I'm currently studying in business marketing, going to my fourth year. The Athletic Financial Award allowed me to fully focus on school and not on the financial aspect of it. So thank you very much for your support and go Gators.
They didn't respect us. There's 27 teams in this country, and we were ranked last. Tell everybody on every play, go with your pet. Because today we come in hard. We shouldn't be thankful to be here. We shouldn't be thankful that we're here. We shouldn't be on bended knee.
Hey, yo, they're sleeping on us. Quiet down, they're still sleeping on us.
Hey everyone, this is Amigan Zuliano here, point guard of the Bishop Women Basketball Team while doing my BBA into Marketing and Entrepreneurship Concentration. In this video, I would like to thank everyone for the support that I received throughout these two amazing years at Bishop's University, but mostly for the people that give me my AFA. Your support made it possible for me for growing both as an athlete and also as a professional. Without my AFA, I wouldn't be able to neither play nor study in Canada, and I would probably be back in my country playing basketball and leaving my studies aside. So thank you so much for this amazing opportunity, for letting me doing both things in the same place, and I'm looking forward for next years.
Hey, how we do it, baby?
Gators!
Hi, my name is Tyler Murphy. I'm a fourth year sports studies major, a minor in psychology and a minor in English. I'm also the men's rugby captain for Bishop's University. And I just want to say thank you for the Athletic Financial Award. Greatly appreciate it. It's going to help me continue my studies in the year to come. I can't wait to get back on Coulter. Thank you.
How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now.
Coming to you live-ish from the beautiful rolling hills of the Eastern Townships, you've tuned in to 88.9 CJMQ. I'm your host, Matt McRae, and welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday morning. It is a beautiful June 17th summer day out there. We have Father's Day coming up on Sunday, June 21st. We have a very special show for you today. We examine the NHL as 56% of the players are at their home cities and not in their team city. Prime Minister Trudeau says the government is open to NHL hub city in Canada. Announced on Tuesday, the federal government is comfortable with the NHL having a hub city in Canada as it meets local health authorities and they approve. To the NBA, Commissioner Silver says the NBA return may not be for everyone. It will take enormous sacrifice to make basketball happen again in 2020. To the NFL, Commissioner Goodell encourages teams to sign Colin Kaepernick. Will it be the Ravens? Will it be the Chiefs? Will it be the Texans? Will it be the Patriots? Major League Baseball, Manfred is not confident for a season in 2020. To soccer now, the MLS Garber plans to rescue the regular season following a return-to-play tournament. To the CFL, they are still considering multiple return options. They reduced their salary cap from $2.58 million to $2 million even for 2021. Ambrosi is still looking for options. We look at the pending curling season. It never finished in 2020. What is ahead in 2021? Golf returns to action with Daniel Berger winning the Charles Schwab at Colonial. UFC Fight Island is real. We go to Abu Dhabi and the scheduled cards coming up in July and August. To tennis, the US Open. Will it take place in Flushing Meadows in August? It is the most talked about tennis tournament as tennis gets return to action. And the virtual Gator Classic on June 12th raises over $27,000. Cha-ching! All that and more 88.9 CJMQ. We've got First and 10. We've got Dingo's flashback track. We talk about group sizes increasing in public up to 50 for June 22nd. We have Saint Jean Baptiste Day in a week featuring local artists only. And speaking of local artists, Tim Brink on Sunday puts on a concert that is mobile around the streets of Waterville that gets everyone talking and the toes are tapping as spirits are high in the townships. Without further ado, we're going to jump right into our first tune, and this is Sia with Cheap Thrills. Coming back, we got First and 10 and our titanium take of the townships on this side of the half hour.
Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl. Bada bang bang. Bounce with it, girl. Dance with it, girl. Get with it, girl. Bada bang bang. To the floor and me see your energy because me not play no hide and seek. What is it the thing you ever make me feel weak, girl? Free! Cause anytime me whine and catch it, the selector pull it up and put it on repeat, girl. Me not touch a dollar in my pocket, cause nothing in this world ain't more than what you worth.
I don't need no money.
You worth more than diamond, more than gold.
As long as I can feel the beat.
Make the beat just take control. Get out of control.
Baby,
I'm Matt McRyan, Director of Athletics and Recreation at Bishop's University. This Friday, we'll be celebrating our 33rd annual Gator Classic. Because of our circumstance, this year our event will be virtual. Regardless of what sports looks like this fall, we will be honoring our athletic financial award and bursary commitment to our student athletes. We are keeping our tradition alive, and thanks to many, our $20,000 goal. Again, evidence that Bishop's has the most loyal group of people behind its teams. On behalf of our coaches and student athletes, thank you. Go Gators.
How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now.
And welcome back to the show. That was Cheap Thrills by Sia as we jump right into our first segment, which is First and 10. I get the top 10 hottest topics from sports in this midweek edition here on Wednesday morning. Right off the top of my head, we are going to look big picture, folks. We've talked about all the potentials, the hypothesis. We've talked about the hypotheticals. Now it is time for plans to come into action. So we're going to take a look at all the major sports leagues throughout our first and 10 and see what the realistic possibilities of actually seeing action will be. Number one, we go right to the NHL with Trudeau announcing the government to open NHL as a hub city in Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Tuesday the federal government is comfortable with the NHL having a hub city in Canada as long as it meets local health authorities' approval. Now with that, an interesting fact came up that 56% of players live in a home city that is different from their team city. That's unforeseen travel issues with unforeseen 14-day quarantines coming into play as they wanted to relaunch training camp last week. Montreal only opening their camp yesterday, to Brossard finally getting ice on Tuesday morning and having four players show up, with the rest of them choosing to go with off-ice practice. So as the NHL is in the midst of phase two, as they get ready to go into phase three and phase four, we don't even have a hub city yet, folks, so people are getting excited for hockey. We're going to pump the brakes on that. We will believe it when we see it. But again, the time for hypothetical and planning is gone, and the time for being mobile and action is upon us. To number two, speaking of action, Commissioner Silver has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He says that an NBA return is not for everyone, with news breaking over the week that Denver Nuggets coach Michael Malone revealed Monday he had COVID-19 in March, but was only able to confirm it in May due to a lack of testing available at the time. Now back to Silver. Silver says the NBA's return may not be for everyone. It will take enormous sacrifice. The NBA Commissioner Adam Silver explains why there are still a lot of outstanding factors that could go for or against the NBA finishing its season this year. He says they will not be forcing anyone to return to play, and it will take enormous sacrifice for everyone involved to get the season restarted. Lots of players are vocal in the media about the Black Lives Matter movement. Should they protest playing altogether when they come back? Is it a chance on a national stage for their message to be made louder and clearer? We all don't know. Everything, again, the hypothetical into the real is coming into play. People still don't know. I don't know what to tell you, folks, other than I hope so, but I hope that everyone is happy and healthy and able to get this restarted. Number three, speaking of happy and healthy, we go to the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell. He is encouraging a team to sign Colin Kaepernick. Wow, that sounds like he has changed his tune. Which team would be the best for Kaepernick to go to? I think a team like the Ravens with Coach Harbaugh, or the Chiefs with a guy like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Reid, who's very experienced, having Michael Vick making a comeback to his team back in the day. There's the very vocal Bill O'Brien, who says he will be taking a knee with his players. So maybe Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans will welcome in Kaepernick. Does Kaepernick want to be a backup? Does Kaepernick want to play? Maybe Belichick and the New England Patriots, if he really wants to be a starter, to challenge Jared Stidham. We don't know. Again, there's so many things that are up in the air with the sports era that is going on. Does Kaepernick want to play? He's been surprisingly quiet since all these recent developments in the past weeks with the protests. But with Roger Goodell coming out on Monday saying he'd welcome and support and encourage a team to sign the quarterback is a completely different message than he was giving last year. Goodell's comments came during a discussion with ESPN's Mike Greenberg for the network's Return to Sports special. So Greenberg asked Goodell what role he envisioned Kaepernick playing in the NFL moving forward, to which the commissioner said the following. Well, listen, if he wants to resume his career in the NFL, then obviously it's going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support a club making that decision, and encourage them to do that. Goodell added that if Kaepernick were to choose to continue his work advocating against racial injustice, the NFL would welcome his input on those matters too. So again, a much different story coming from Commissioner Goodell, but it must be encouraging on Kaepernick's part finally to not be on this island. Goodell is changes tune completely, saying that in the past they were wrong to be ignoring it, and the signs were there even well before this movement, well before Kaepernick even started kneeling. Players had been coming out against this type of violence. So again, I'd like to be able to tell you I have the answers, but everything is so up in the air. It is a good and encouraging sign to see someone like the NFL commissioner coming out in support of this. The NFL season, if it does start at the end of summer, beginning of fall, like it is scheduled to do, it may be some very interesting national anthem protests, very different kneeling than we're used to. That is definitely for sure moving forward. We're going to go to a different brand of football as CFL football operations cap will be reduced for the 2021 season. The CFL operations cap has announced they will reduce from a $2.588 million to $2 million for the 2021 season. That's according to TSN CFL insider Dave Naylor. Commissioner Ambrosi details the latest plans on trying to have a 2020 CFL season, along with multiple options being considered for return to play. None of them looking good at the moment. Talking about not looking good at the moment, on to our next topic, the topic of curling. With some curling competitions already canceled for the rest of 2021, the season is up in the air due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The sport is facing significant challenges as it looks ahead to a possible resumption in a few months' time. Just the nature of the sport of curling, with sharing the stones, sharing the ice surface, we're finally seeing curlers coming out at the end of May and the beginning of June, talking about the complications ahead. We've seen such curlers such as Brandon Botcher come out to talk about the sudden end of the curling season, how his team balances its normal work life during the season, and how it has been impacted during the pandemic, discussing the difficulties in planning ahead for the next season with so many unknowns. The Olympic trials are exactly what everybody is keynoting on the schedule. The international competitions are the most up in the air that we can see, so curling, just as the nature of a sport, is up in the air with no future plans for any tournaments to take part. We go to golf now as golf made a return, wrapping up on Sunday as Daniel Berger wins the Charles Schwab at Colonial. Who is Daniel Berger? Well, he's an American professional golfer playing on the PGA Tour. He turned pro at the age of 20 in 2013. He won the FedEx St. Jude Classic in 2016 and 2017 after the three-month hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So he's 27 years old. He lives in Jupiter, Florida. His name is Daniel Berger. He defeated, in a playoff hole at minus 15, Morikawa, with Justin Rose tying for third with Bryson DeChambeau and Kokrek, also all shooting at minus 14. And speaking of which, have you seen Bryson DeChambeau? He is svelte. He's gained about 15, 20 pounds of muscle. He's yoked. He's bigger than Brooks Koepka. Look for DeChambeau to maybe improve as some of the golf tournaments without fans and the new players and regulations. But again, Daniel Berger capturing the Charles Schwab Challenge on Sunday with a purse of $7.5 million overall, starting June 11th, wrapping up on the 14th of June in 2020 at Colonial Golf Course. To number 9, we go to a juicy story. Guys, I promised it in the opening. I will deliver it. Dana White says, we are really putting an octagon on the beach, White said in an interview with ESPN. There's going to be a training facility there for people. There are hotels. A whole island is going to be built. All the infrastructure is going to be built for the UFC to come and do fights there. In a press release over the weekend, the UFC said there will be a safety zone with a nearly 10-square-mile Yas Island that will include arena, hotel, training facilities, and a dining establishment. The safety zone will only be open to UFC athletes and their coaches, UFC staff, and other event personnel, the Yas Island employees, and those who are necessary for the operation of the facilities. So Fight Island events will take place without fans in attendance. Where is Fight Island? UFC Fight Island is located in Abu Dhabi's Yas Islands. On June 9th, White revealed the location of Fight Island as being in Abu Dhabi. Last September, UFC 242 Khabib versus Poirier was held on Yas Island as part of a five-year partnership between the UFC and Abu Dhabi. So bringing Fight Island to Abu Dhabi is an extension of that agreement. Abu Dhabi has also hosted such events as the Formula One's Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. So the first fight on Fight Island, when is it going to be? Saturday, July 11th, Fight Island will have its first event of UFC 251. It will have successive fights to follow on July 15th, July 11th, and July 25th. Dana White said, it's beeping insane that we're trying to do this, but I promised it to you, and we're going to pull it off, White said. He was on Talk to Talk podcast with Eddie Hearn and Tony Bellew in early June. I believe doing this is going to help grow the sport immensely and financially in many different ways. It's going to help build the sport. I know we can do it. Fight Island is a real thing. It is coming. It will be on the beach without spectators. It is the closest thing to an early 90s action movie that we're going to see, folks. Dana White is bringing it to you. I'm excited. You should be excited, too, for all you fight fans out there. And from the hard-hitting UFC, we go to the more tame sport of tennis, as the United States Tennis Association is moving ahead with its plans to play the U.S. Open in the projected timeframe starting on August 31st. So the ATP and the WTA have embraced the plan along with the reshuffling of the August calendar. A source familiar with the plans has confirmed to ESPN. Forbes first reported Wednesday that the ATP and the WTA would approve the plan to play the US Open in its originally scheduled time, but the USTA appears poised to announce the plan once it secures a green light from local and state health officials in New York, according to ESPN and Forbes. Chris Whitemare said, "We are following each step in the restart procedure in the great hope that we can announce that the 2020 U.S. Open will be played in its regularly scheduled date," the USTA Directors of Communications Whitemare told ESPN. "We hope to make the announcement in the very near future." Now, for those of you who've been under a rock due to the coronavirus pandemic, strict health protocols will be in place for the U.S. Open, with testing regimens and restrictions on the movements and activities of the players while they are in New York. Under great speculation, fans will be prohibited from the event, as well as the ATP Player Council also presented a plan to hold the annual Cincinnati tournament, which was to be started August 16th. Tennis is getting ready to go. Will Bianca Andreescu be ready to go for Canada? She was just getting ready to go before the pandemic hit. We hope to see her go and potentially defend her title as reigning U.S. Open champion. And that is it. That wraps up First and 10. We are 1 week away from St. Jean-Baptiste, Father's Day. Everyone, be sure to buy your father a very special gift. We're going to have a special musical tribute to all the dads out there. And again, a local artist only from the province of Quebec will be played on the June 24th St. Jean edition. So that wraps up First and 10. We have Dingo's flashback track. We got a little video, Killed the Radio Star. I'm your host, Matt McRae. You're listening to 88.9 CJMQ, your home for sports talk in the Eastern Townships. We'll be back with the titanium take of the townships, local news, and Take Me Home. We'll be back.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
I wish I was in Sherbrooke now.